This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. When you go to the theater or the movies, the idea is to suspend disbelief, to forget that those are actors and sink into the fantasy that they're real people. At a magic show, you can't help but try to do the opposite and figure out how the magician is doing those tricks. But a good magician will trick you anyhow. As part of our series on science and creativity, Michael May talked to a couple of scientists, neurologists, who are very interested in exactly how magic works in the mind.
Would you guys like to learn how to do a trick?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody hold up your finger.
Cody Fisher specializes in large theatrical shows that involve a half a dozen stagehands and more smoke than an AC/DC concert. But today he's facing about as tough an audience as a magician can get, a brightly lit room full of children sitting up close. He's at the Magic Camp in Georgetown, Texas.
This trick is called the Mystery of the Color-Changing Handkerchief. First, I'll do the trick.
He tells the kids he's going to teach them how to turn a yellow handkerchief into a green one. He shows the kids how to palm a handkerchief, painstakingly stuffing the green cloth deep into his fist.
Whatever you do, don't open this fist. Because if you open this fist, what's going to happen? They're going to see the green handkerchief that you're hiding inside your hand, okay? So, what?
It's over here.
The green handkerchief went the way of thousands of rabbits and coins before it. Classic sleight of hand. Cody Fisher shows me how it works. He puts a coin in his hand, leans over it, gazes at it, blows on it.
Then you have the illusion of a disappearance. Now, if I do it the incorrect way, it becomes apparently obvious. If I take a coin and place it in this hand and then do this, now there's no fooling. You know where the coin is. So even something as simple as vanishing a small object like a coin or a ball, it takes the eyes, it takes the brain, it takes the body movement, it takes you interacting with the volunteer. There are 20 or 30 different things taking place in that simple movement of pretending to place a coin in one hand. It takes years of experience to get it right.
Audiences love this sort of thing, but Apollo Robbins feels like magic doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Magic is rather trivialized, perhaps because of the limitation of the public to see the intellectual endeavors that we've had in magic. Most magic is watching birds come out of sleeves, or watching cards appear in the fingertips, or little red balls jump from hand to hand.
Apollo wanted his act to show magical techniques in real life, so he became a performing pickpocket. He cultivated what he calls grift sense.
Now, for a pickpocket, if they have a good grift sense, they don't need nimble fingers. They can put their whole hand directly into somebody's pocket, even while they are able to see them, because it's all about fooling the mind rather than the actual sense of touch.
Apollo has intuitions about human perception and attention that scientists don't fully understand. So it's not surprising that Apollo heard from two neurologists who are studying what they call the art of consciousness.
We ask ourselves, well, who are the artists of consciousness and awareness? And these are really magicians, because they're expert manipulators of consciousness and attention in their performances.
That's Susanna Martinez-Conde. She works with Stephen Macnick at the Barrow Institute in Phoenix.
We have just, in science, just in the last decade or so, discovered things that magicians have always known, which is that you can really hide big things that happen in front of someone that they're looking right at. You can make them not be aware of that if you can get them to pay attention somewhere else.
So Macnick and Martinez-Conde invited Apollo and some other magicians to a neurology conference in Las Vegas. At the conference, Apollo brings a man named George on stage. He darts in and out of George's personal space, making jokes and distracting him with unrelated magic tricks. George's eyes repeatedly dart down to his pockets, but he never catches Apollo in the act of stealing.
Oh my gosh, to be honest, I'm not sure that I've actually pickpocketed a scientist before. So I never had to do indexing as I go through somebody's pockets.
When it's over, Apollo gives George back a half a dozen of his personal things. Money, a recorder, receipts, a pen, and his watch, which Apollo had taken off George and put on his own wrist with no one noticing. There's one aspect of Apollo's act that the scientists find particularly fascinating. Apollo tries to control his Mark's attention by moving his hands, and he found that was difficult to do if he moved his hands quickly.
What happens when that occurs is that the attention seems to work like a rubber band. It snaps back. So they'll process where my hand is. If there's nothing of interest that engages them immediately, their attention will immediately snap back to the point of exit, which is not where I wanted to go. That's towards the pocket. What I found out is that if I arched and did a slight arch as I came out, now their eyes begin chasing my hand as it came out, and they want to process the information. They're trying to analyze it. At the same time, my other hand could now come down and execute other nefarious behavior.
Neuroscientist Stephen Macnick says he has an idea why those curving hand movements work for magicians.
They have this powerful intuition, and we can imagine how it's true, that the subject follows this curvy motion at the tip of their hands, and they can't stop. They can't keep themselves from doing it. And this has some neuroscientific basis, we think, because there's a special type of eye movement that humans and primates make called pursuit eye movements. When there's a curvy, moving object, the eye will follow that trajectory without you really trying to do it.
Macnick and Martinez-Conde are designing an experiment. They want to see if Apollo is effectively controlling those eye movements like he thinks he is. It may seem strange that magicians would be willing to reveal the tricks of their trade to scientists, but Macnick says the magicians have something to gain.
Every single thing you've ever seen, cutting of the ropes, card tricks, cutting an assistant in half, etc., all of those things are variants of the same handful of tricks. And so as magicians, what would be really important for them in their legacy is to contribute a new trick, fundamental new trick, to add to the 6 or 7 that are known so that there's 8 or 9 now.
The scientists think they have a new trick. They've developed a complex visual illusion that renders flickering objects invisible, and they'd like to work with a magician to bring it to the stage. Apollo has a more modest goal.
It doesn't hurt if our audience knows that there's this richness and this intellectual value behind the psychology of what we're doing, because we're still able to deceive them with it anyway.
Well, that was the end of that trick. But I've run another trick!
Yeah! For Studio 360, I'm Michael May.
You guys, you know, I think I'm going to teach you guys how to do one more trick. Would you guys like to learn how to do a trick? Okay, hold on, raise your hand if you want to do a trick.